so it's weird. Yep. So I was researching a couple of these guys, and apparently there's like different types of All-America teams. Like there's an Associated Press All-America team. There's a CBS Sports All-American team. There's a USA Today All-American team.
Well, they've got to have enough so that everyone can have at least one All-American status.
I swear, it's like the fucking participation trophy of All-Americas.
Right.
Oh, they did the same thing with fucking bowl games. So that surprised you?
Yeah, good point. But they leave Captain America out. He is the true All-American.
Ah, topical.
Dude, Winter Soldier is so fucking good. I mean, I've probably seen it 20 times now, and anytime it's on TV, I could sit down and watch the entire thing.
I need to rewatch that before we watch it.
Well, you fell asleep during the first... Or was it... No.
It was the first one.
Yeah, first Avenger, yeah.
Yeah. In my defense, I was drunk. Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero. And this is the highly anticipated draft cap
show.
Yes.
What's that?
It's like the draft recap show, only better.
Draft recap.
So yeah, the Saints walked away with five new players addressing certain needs on the team. But then they had their own veritable game of pick-ems by snatching up 19 undrafted free agents. We know the Saints usually find gold there, and with 19, surely there's at least one that's going to become a household name. So we got your draft recap coming up. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Sounded like you were struggling a little bit to...
I was trying to get draft recap again, but I couldn't get it.
That's all right. Hey, when you try too hard, it just doesn't work.
That's why I shouldn't have tried.
Well, you can try. Just don't try too hard. Don't make it look like you're trying so hard.
I was trying to say that recap thing again, but go ahead.
Hey, you can only make magic once.
That's what she said.
I'll go with a one. I had a couple of glasses of wine. I got a drink now, but that's it. But at least so somebody can have a number tonight.
Yeah.
Because I figured, well, Damon's clearly a zero, and you were a number the other night, so I figured you're probably not a number tonight.
Damon had a number the other night, too. Damon, what's your number now? Welcome to the show.
No, that number was two nights ago. I'm a zero tonight. Sober tonight.
So you had a number the other night, and since you never get to report a number, tell us about it.
Oh, it was a pretty good number. I think it's up there with a five. You know, I had a friend come down from Texas, and then we had a mini little reunion from... friends of mine from high school. We all got together. We drank all day, and we went to Harbor Seafood and had some drinks and food, and then went to Swamp Room on Vets. I hadn't been there.
Wow.
I hadn't been there in forever.
You truly did a high school experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny going into the bar at night, looking around, and holy fuck, we're the oldest people in here.
Yeah.
We weren't the oldest. There were still a couple that was... might have been pushing, but we were definitely the top, 2%.
Fortunately, that's what we are now.
You were too drunk, you didn't care.
Yeah. It was fun. I don't know how I did that. I mean, I have no desire to do that twice a week, you know, anymore. I can tell you that.
It took you 2 days to recover. All right, well, let's get into, what do we call, I mean, we don't do a segment. Sure. Let's just get into draft recap.
Yeah. This is, yes, survival of the fittest. This is, do or die. This is, will it take it all so wasn't ready to be no millionaire. I was ill prepared. I was prepared to be ill, though. The skill was there. In the beginning, it wasn't.
Okay. So, y'all did not do any kind of special release the other night. So, we're going total recap here. Start at the top, Sheldon Rankin, defensive tackle.
What do you dressed a position of need. It's a guy who was projected in a lot of a guy that was projected in a lot of places. So I'm happy they stuck to their guns. And even though with Tunsil falling as he was falling, I'm just thinking to myself, man. I mean, you grab a guy like I know he had his bong Tunsil issues or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, that wouldn't scare me off. And I'm just thinking, man, can you
really
afford the? No, I mean, half the players smoke college players smoke weed. His problem was. He was dumb enough to let himself get filmed.
Okay. That's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, that shows immaturity. Now, look, his camp was saying that it was an older video and blah, blah, blah. I mean.
Okay. It probably was. It was interesting that it got leaked right when the draft started. And, of course, his stepdad is suing him. So there's something going on with that. But as he's falling, I'm just thinking, I mean, man, obviously the Saints need defense, but if a guy like him is there, you just plugging him at right tackle, move Pete into guard, and like, boom. But they went with Rankins, and I'm happy with it. It's a guy I thought we were going to take, and they need a good presence in the middle of the defensive line desperately.
I'll read this. Look at him tweet. From Life of Ty. Passing on Tunsil and taking Rankins shows how much Junior's attitude killed us. Rankins has great attitude, wants to be here. I think there's something to be said about that.
Well, also, you know, the passing on Tunsil showed me and it kind of converted me from what I was saying before the draft when I was saying, oh, well, Treadwell there. You know, this guy's going to be a real starter. Don't reach on anything. But I think with passing up everybody who was there or still on the board and taking their man, what the Saints were saying was, look, offense isn't our problem. We might not have, yes, Tunsil might be able to come in. He's a starter from day one and for the next 10 years. But our offense isn't what's keeping us out of the playoffs. The offense isn't what's keeping us out of contention for a Super Bowl. It's this fucking defense, this ferocious fucking defense.
Ferocious? Is that a word?
Yeah. Ferocious. Ferocious, yeah.
You just made up a word.
It's horribly ferocious. No, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, horribly atrocious.
Yeah, that's it.
Learning.
Damn, shut up.
Okay.
That's what's keeping us from the championship, and that's what we need to address. And that's what they did. So after seeing them do that, they definitely changed my mind. I'd have loved to have Tunsil. I'd have loved to have them. Love to. But it's, you know, so what? Let's say the offense drops. It's never dropped below number six since Sean Payton's been here. Let's say it drops to eighth. If you have a number 10 defense, or you know, we're still competing for the playoffs. So I like what we did, even though I wish we could have got Tunsil. I really do. I have to agree with with who we took.
It was kind of wild as the drafts unfolded, and like when the Saints are up, I'm like, there's four guys they could take right now. I mean, counting Tunsil, a bunch of defensive guys still there, and I think, I mean, I'm sure they tried to take calls for a trade down, and just nothing ever materialized.
Right.
But I'm just thinking, man, we've got the pick of the litter right here.
I like the pick, and what Jason said, look, this guy, and that's something else that I've read, this is a good locker room guy.
Right.
And fuck Junior Gallet. Just.
Right.
Just
yeah.
Fuck him.
Right in his Achilles.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like it. God knows we need the help up front. Scott Fujita, you know, because they had all alumni, you know, call into the radio program. The Saints did something very cool, and you can still go on Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com and see it in their video section. They had some alumni players like Dalton Hilliard and Billy Kilmer, and they talked to him. But Scott Fujita said, a defensive lineman is a linebacker's best friend. And I've said this before in the show, that's what the Dome Patrol has always said about their defensive linemen. So it really does start up front. The more disruptive the defensive line is and keeping the offensive line occupied, the better your linebackers can be, and it really, you know, go up. So
pickles from there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So okay. So you know what? They converted me. I like the pick. I'm not, you know, let's hope this guy comes in. He had the good attitude. Let's hope he produces.
So he pans out.
And I'm sure he's on a few of those all American lists.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the top defensive tackles in the draft. So
right. And you know, here we go. We're talking ourselves in. This one's an easy one to talk yourself into. And you know, hey. I'm sure Tunsil's going to have a good career too, but that doesn't mean that Sheldon Rankins won't have a great career himself. Now,
right? And again, it's hard to compare because every team needs something different. And let's say in 2011 or whenever he came out, 2012 I think, the Green Bay Packers didn't need Andrew Luck. You know,
right.
they have a young Aaron Rodgers. So it all depends on when you're drafting and what your makeup of your team is. So,
and to me, it was the number one position of need for this team, and they got it.
Right. And they addressed it twice.
Yeah. It's still. I mean, what did we been in the last several years? You know, lack of pressure on the quarterback. What did Denver do in the Super Bowl?
That's all they did was pressure the quarterback.
Right. And we had quarterbacks had all day. Just throwing the Saints the last couple of years.
Yeah.
All day long. And you can make any quarterback look like an all-pro when you're not getting pressured on.
It is.
And cornerbacks, I don't care who you are, cornerbacks can't cover a wide receiver.
That long, though. They're going to get up.
They're going to get
like
up.
Five touchdowns against us or something?
Oh, God, probably.
Yeah, I don't need to.
Yeah. Every quarterback that played us last year and got an extension should kick the money back to the Saints, okay?
The average quarterback rating against the Saints last year was like 116, like it would have led the league. That's how everybody, even rookies, we went against Winston twice and Mariota. Doesn't matter who it was, our defense was atrocious.
All right, so then, of course, our second-round pick goes to Ohio State wide receiver Michael Thomas. Good pick.
I mean, I'll be the first to admit I didn't know who he was, but after reading about him, look, the receiver was going to be a need, and I thought we did need to draft a receiver, and this guy seems like he's got some talent, and Breeze has shown to make mediocre receivers good. If this guy is,
well,
you know,
he was
decent.
A 1,000-yard receiver last year, wasn't he, at Ohio State?
I don't know. No, he didn't get 1,000 yards, but he had very good production. He was one of their better receivers. He's got good hands, good size.
Urban Meyer was on, I think, ESPN during the draft, and he was saying this. Apparently, Sean Payton and Meyer are pretty good buddies because Meyer kept saying that, oh, you know, Payton was picking his brain about some, you know, especially the two draft picks you got from Ohio State. And Meyer said, this guy has passion. And he said, his comment was, yeah, he gets into a fight about twice a week. You know, in practice, you know. So he says he has passion and he can catch anything thrown at him. That was Meyer's comment.
All right.
And again, obviously, none of us watch Ohio State. We're all SEC people. So.
But he was their leading receiver for the last 2 years.
Yeah. National championship 2 years ago.
And look, it's an Urban Meyer coached player, which, you know, feel how you want to as an LSU fan about Urban Meyer. I kind of like getting guys from Urban Meyer team.
Well, except Tim Tebow.
Well played. Okay, yeah. So then round two, our second pick. We stayed with Ohio State at the Will Smith. Our second pick in round two, I mean.
Well, we actually, that's the thing. I mean, that was an issue. We traded with Damon's favorite franchise to move up into the third round and grab the safety.
Von Bell,
which, you know, it didn't seem like a huge need, but when you factor in Raphael Bush is gone and
Sinceri is gone,
well,
not that he,
whatever,
now they did much, but he played safety. I mean, besides
who?
Sinceri,
oh, yeah, we cut him. But you're right. Besides Bird and Vaccaro,
who
we
do have?
Jamarcus Sanford. You know, we definitely did not have a lot back there. So looking at it, I mean, you have to like the pick. He was McShay said he was the best cover safety in the draft.
We haven't kept healthy safeties through a season at all, anyway. So
no, you know Bird's going to have something.
Right.
He's just going to have
going to be hurt.
some kind of injury. So I think it was a really good pick. This guy's a quality player. And now that you know people don't like trading up, and that'll come in again to the conversation. See, even Luka doesn't like trading up.
Well, who did you say were the other safety?
Jamarcus Sanford is one. Exactly. Are you comfortable going with that as one of your starting safeties? It's hurt.
But no, that's not fair. Yeah, it was obviously safety was a need just for depth position, no doubt. So it made sense. And all these people on the internet and look, can go fuck themselves.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Let's look at it this way, you morons. To get Bell, all right, what did we give up?
We gave up our third round pick, which we would have had,
and our fourth.
So swap that out with Bell, and we gave up a fourth round.
Right.
Pick.
So you gave up a fourth round pick.
That's it.
You gave up a fourth round pick from someone that was ranked in all these draft guides and feel about them how you do. That was a top 50 player. I don't think that's a bad idea. Who the fuck are you going to get in the fourth round? Could you, yes, could you get a Jari Evans who was a late-round pick, or Marcus Colton who was a seventh-round pick? Yeah, but the likelihood of that is very small. So giving up a fourth-round pick to get an extra second, I don't have a problem with that.
All day.
Right. I don't have a problem with that. You gave up a fourth. You didn't give up a third and a fourth. You gave up a fourth.
Fourth.
Because you used a pick to get the asshole. Anyway, I mean, I've never.
Yeah, and especially once, I mean, when the season happens and Bird has his normal injury, like you're gonna need this guy to come in and play. And I think the guy now, look, he's not gonna.
When Bird has his injury.
I mean, you know it's coming.
Yep.
You know it's coming. So this is a guy that's gonna play more this year than what a lot of people think. Initially, like, oh yeah, he'll come in on nickel downs and certain packages, but I have a feeling we're gonna see this guy more than we think.
I'd like not to, but.
Right, I'd like not to,
but at the very least, we play a lot of three safeties. And from what I've read about him, that he can play sort of the nickel.
Maybe we played three safeties because we needed the coverage, and now we don't.
The thing is, the good thing about this guy is he can cover.
Right. He can cover.
He can cover. We kind of need that.
Well, there you go.
Again, all of these drafts, I'll preface everything we're going to say tonight.
Oh, and the troll on the internet certainly knows more than Jeff Ireland, Mickey Loomis, and Sean Payton.
Of course, because they have all the scouting information. They've interviewed all these players. Right. They've interviewed all the coaches. They have all the information to be right.
They've watched all the tape. The internet trolls, right? All they do, they go on YouTube and watch the highlight tapes. Right. Everybody looks like an all-pro if I'm making a highlight tape. Everybody looks like an all-pro. Yeah, so we're excited about these players. We're excited about their potential with the Saints. Here we are. But nobody that we drafted this year is a Jean-Baptiste.
That we know of.
Jean-Baptiste was a reek even when we drafted him. We knew that. He was a converted wide receiver. I mean, after we drafted him, we knew that he was a project player.
You could kind of say that about Omanyada.
So let's get into that round four.
And that was where fucking Saints Twitter just fucking exploded, being pissed off. Trading up. Obviously the trade up was
because
one.
They knew that there was somebody in front of him was going to take him.
Right. Go ahead.
Green Bay was interested in him.
I thought it was the Panthers.
Several
teams.
Green
Bay. Green Bay was the one. That they said for sure was going to take him.
And when he grew,
they wanted him.
They moved up right in front of the Panthers to get the
right. Maybe because they couldn't, the Panthers wouldn't make a deal with him because the Panthers might have wanted him. You're right.
Well, the Panthers message boards went crazy when the Saints took him because they thought that's who they were taking.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, that's who, the Panthers.
But it was a combination of trading up, we suck at trading up, that's all we do is trade up, and we haven't had good results to show. I agree. When I'm, there's like, in the last, from 2010 to 2014, our draft sucked. Yeah, there's no denying our drafts have sucked and we traded up and we haven't hit.
Mark Ingram investment hasn't paid off.
But you know what else we did? We fired our entire scouting department after 2014. This is a totally new
right.
scouting department. So, look, whether you have
and
five picks.
What? And they actually had a decent draft last year. At least three of them started.
Played significant time.
Right, played yeah. significantly. And the thing is, look, whether you have five picks or whether you have seven picks, you just need, four players a year to pan out. That's all you need. Right. So, if the players don't hit, then fine, whatever. They don't hit, just like whether we had seven picks, they wouldn't have hit anyway. But if these players hit, then this is all a moot point.
Right.
You just need the players to fight. You need our new scouting department to be right. That's kind of what you need.
That's right. Thanks for stopping by.
So
Onyemata, how do you say it?
Onyemata. I just like the fact that now
between him and Kakaha, we got Kakaha Onyemata.
I just like the fact that we
two of them combined for a sack.
Ushman Zeta. I just like the fact that now we can bring up Canada jokes again.
Fuck Canada!
Hey, fuck you, buddy!
But, trading up is one thing. Trading up to get a quote-unquote project.
But what's a project?
The guy's only been playing football for 4 years.
So?
He's a converted football player. obviously we all hope to God that he pans out. Oh. He's got a lot of... He does have a lot of skills. But they also said the same thing about Rufus Johnson a couple of years ago. Mm. So you just have to hope that this new scouting department, right. the research they did, is better than the previous regime.
So far their track record shows that it is.
Well, it's only 1 year.
So it's still better. They did better in that 1 year than the guys they fired.
That's right, than the last
five years. Yeah.
Yeah. But just the real butt hurt was just the fact that we didn't draft a guard. Yeah, people got so pissed off that
wait
until
we get to the 19 undrafted.
Well, right. But people were so pissed off that we didn't draft the guard, and the season's over. Season's over. We're done. Didn't draft the guard. Blah blah. Season was over in fucking April.
But wait, we didn't get through all the draft picks. Well, a surprise that they picked up now in round seven.
Well, not really a surprise.
Danny Lasco, a running back.
Well, they just took best player.
Right, and I mean, I heard him say it, that he said his NFL life is going to be special teams.
Special teams, and he's not just a returner; he's a gunner. He's a gunner, and he makes special teams tackles. He was their leading.
Oh, you think he's going to be like a Gleason, perhaps?
I mean, don't compare to older players. I hate when you do that. You sound like a fucking idiot.
What?
Just let's just hope he contributes special teams. Be fucking Terrence Copper. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Be a good special teams player. That's it. Just get on the field and make plays and improve the special teams. That's all I'm asking for at this point for the 7th pick.
That shouldn't be hard to do.
Just make the team. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that too. But, I mean, this guy definitely has... Definitely has talent. I mean, all the highlights of him running, he's got good burst. So, I mean, look, you can argue with trading up and whether it works or not, but you know what? That's what Mickey does. That's what Mickey has always done. So you just got to accept it.
They have a guy they want. They go get him.
I mean, it hasn't worked out.
And I like that aggressive.
I mean, it hasn't really worked in the past. I mean, it really hasn't. Anytime they traded up, it really hasn't worked. But if it works this year, then all is forgiven. Look, this is April and May is about hope, but excitement. I mean, we're fucking fans. Fans are so fanatics.
And don't forget, we addressed some of these other positions through free agency as well. I mean, tight end, we caught Fleener. We picked up two linebackers. Was it?
Yeah, we picked up a couple of linebackers. We definitely improved in certain spots, considering the limited resources we had.
So, yeah, the only position really that we have yet to address would be offensive line, which in the undrafted free agency class, there's this sleeper agent.
No, we actually got two guys that I think will make the team.
In where? In the undrafted free agent?
The undrafted guys, yeah. I think two offensive linemen will make the team, and I'll be honest with you, I think one of them will end up starting. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in Alito and Calamente to both start. I mean, maybe one does, and I don't.
Turner?
Turner, and then Jack Allen.
And Jack Allen. Okay,
yeah. I mean, Landon Turner, a 4-year starter.
Allen's a center, right?
Allen's a center, but he also started at guard, and he started at tackle. So you can.
Well, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I mean,
what we're missing, and you remember, Zach Streif. I mean, obviously, look, man, when we had that offensive line going, and Zach Streif was just your floater. You know, whenever someone had to come out or got nicked up.
Yeah, he can come in.
Man, Zach Streif came in at every position but center, I believe. And so, yeah, so a guy who can play all the position of the on line of scrimmage.
And that's one of the reasons why I think he'll make the team, is because he can play all positions. He was a two-time USA All-Today, USA Today All-American, two-time All-Big Ten. The multiple positions is going to help him. And
definitely a couple of the linemen that we undrafted free agents are going to make the team. Then I think the safety from Ole Miss, Trey Elston, he's going to make the team. I think we're going to get three or four undrafted free agents who make this team, which is about what we average anyway. So, I mean, that's not really a stretch.
Yeah. Plus, something that wasn't even really talked about, you still have, from last year's class, you've got Tall and Williams that didn't even play a snap. So, in essence, they're like draft picks that are coming in this year.
Right.
And hope PJ didn't get hurt again. So, look. For 2 years now. We have dramatically turned over this roster and gotten a lot younger.
A lot younger.
With, I mean, look, our oldest position is our quarterback, and he's the best player on the team still. So, people are going to have their gripes, but trading up and taking the projects and whatnot. But, and the worst is fucking. Oh, What's the grade?
You can't grade it until the guys actually play.
Right. You know what the grade is? It's an I, because nobody's played one single fucking snap. All these grades are completely meaningless, and people fucking eat them up like sheep. Like fucking idiots. Who cares? Go back and look at the draft class from 4 years ago, the day of the draft. Oh, A's, and now they're all fucking... I mean, all these guys now, you got the fifth-year options, players are being declined. Jarvis Jones's fifth-year option was declined. People were pissed when we took Vaccaro over him. You know? This dude's not going to pan out. I mean, you don't know.
No.
You don't fucking know, so stop.
You can look at every team and say, well, we took so-and-so, and so-and-so was available. And, you know, I mean, everybody can do that. Everybody can. 2016 passed up on Aaron Rodgers. Joe Montana went in the second round. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. So you don't know until they get on the field. The main thing is, did you address needs? And what we've learned over the last, you know, what really hurt the Saints, and we've said this during the season, is they lost their locker room. They brought in guys, again, Junior Gillette is a glaring example of an asshole in the locker room. And that hurts a team, in my opinion. You have to be a team. You can't be a bunch of individuals. And everything I've heard about the guys they've drafted, there's no character issues, there's no... Now, what's nice, there's no injury issues also this year. I like that.
Yeah, wow.
You know?
Right about, I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
Yeah, there's no... You know, we didn't take the... Who was it? Jack something? The linebacker that hurt his knee that went late, I think.
Oh, there was Kari Fort and then Ronald Powell. Powell was the one that was perpetually injured. We took him. And then last year, Davis Tull, we drafted him. He was injured.
Right. So nobody is injured. Everybody
kind of feels like, right, I was going to say, that's something different about this year's draft and free agent class. From what we know, no one is coming to the team with an injury.
Right.
Yeah, but when they get inside that facility, all bets are off. they become perpetually injured.
Maybe the janitor should not mop before they arrive and just wait till everybody leaves for the night and then mop. All right, so the undrafted 19 undrafted free agents were brought in. One potable to talk about is Jack Allen, center from Michigan State.
Yeah, we kind of mentioned him a little earlier, but played center, but also started other positions when he had to. That's a good offensive line. Normally you kind of like the Big Ten offensive linemen. I guess it's kind of amazing that he didn't get drafted, but I guess he's a little undersized. I mean, he's 6'1", but he was just under 300 pounds. They do kind of consider that small in today's day and age. But look, the seems like the kid can play.
Was he the one that only let up 3 sacks last year or something?
I think so. I thought I remember reading that somewhere. But I mean, either way, it seems like this kid can. I mean, like I said, him and Turner, I think they both make the team. I mean, Turner was a 4-year starter, first team AP All American. I can't believe these guys.
No, which All American?
Associated Press.
No.
Right. I mean, I don't know why these guys didn't get drafted. I mean, maybe there's some red flags somewhere. But considering these guys were projected to be drafted, like think about this. You know, we're talking about the trades. If the Saints wouldn't have traded any picks and had their fourth and fifth round picks and took these two dudes in round 4 and round 5, people would have been fucking ecstatic. People would have been like, yep, we got all our needs, fucking championship. Done. It'd be a totally different reaction.
So we still got, right, so we still got the offensive line addressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We signed, what, 20 undrafted free agents?
19.
A bunch of those guys ain't going to make it, but a couple will.
Two out of
a couple will. They always will. I mean, you know, you don't know until they see these guys in pads. You know, I mean, we'll see. We have hope. Obviously, we're fans.
We even brought
a
Tulane guy.
Yeah.
Royce La France.
Which is French for the France. Been waiting to say that all day.
Well, I'm glad I was able to give you that chance.
La chance?
Oh, I hope he makes the team now.
So if he makes a team, you're going to get a LaFrance jersey? You should, right?
No.
It'd be like
you to get hurt. La hurt.
Or turn into Junior Gallet.
You know what jersey you need to get, Jeff? A Will Smith jersey.
That would be a good jersey now.
A Will Smith jersey.
I can't curse him any worse.
No. What are you going to do, come back alive? I mean.
But that, oh, hey, it depends on. Well, no, I don't want. Damn it.
What?
No.
You know, say a Game of Thrones joke?
Yeah, I was going to, but like, nah, I don't want to.
No spoiling.
I mean, I don't know, at this point, by the time it gets published, everybody will have. I mean, y'all both saw it, right?
Yeah.
I did, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
They did have me fooled there when they kept watching him. I said, am I supposed to think he's going to come back alive, and then they're not going to make him come back alive?
Oh, wow.
No, I mean, I kind of had a feeling like it wasn't going to happen right away once people left.
Right. I kept waiting, and I knew the dog was going to be the trigger. That's what I, you know, because they kept.
Well, especially when, like, they just show the dog late. Like, why are they showing the
right,
dog?
Obviously the dog's going to sense it first, you know, and then we're all going to see it.
Yep. So, anyway, sorry to get off track.
I think they made you think that he was coming back in the dog. Like, as the dog.
I never thought that. Nope. No, never crossed my mind.
He's not Brand.
That he was going to come back to the dog.
Right.
Dude, how much of that dude growing up, huh?
Well, think about it. We haven't seen him in 2 years.
Right.
You know, he wasn't on the show last year, and he's going through adolescence. I mean, that's what happens.
Was he not on the show last year?
No, he wasn't on the show at all last year.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That's why he looks so much older. I mean, you haven't seen him in 2 years?
I did like seeing Hodor. You know,
as a young, yeah.
He could speak.
Yeah.
And not just say Hodor.
Right. So hopefully they'll.
Let's talk about Willis.
Hodor. Hopefully they'll explain that.
You would think.
I wonder if Hodor means. What is Hodor?
That's his name, right? Oh, no. No,
no,
Willis.
No, his name is Willis.
Maybe all of them is.
If he's saying something very important.
Oh, that's a good point.
This whole time.
Hodor might be the name of a location or of something that Brand's going to end up needing.
Mm.
That's where you go to fuck chicks, the Hodor.
Now you might have to leave all that in.
Sorry for that Game of Thrones
interlude.
Interlude, yeah.
All right,
I almost feel like we should since it's the off season, we should kind of maybe consider just doing a little 5 or 10 minute conversation about Game of Thrones at the end of each show.
Well, we did kind of talk a little bit about Walking Dead when it was on, didn't we?
We did, yeah. And we got some movies coming out. We could do a little pop culture entertainment section.
Are y'all even watching Fear the Walking Dead?
I am, but I'm not. I don't watch like I've only watched the first 2 episodes, so I have 2 recorded. So I just kind of watch it as I like if I'm working out or something. I'll put it on, but I'm not as into it.
Is it that bad?
So you're not watching it at all, Jeff?
I never watched the first season.
I mean, it's just
you're
the
not,
issue of...
You're not missing anything.
No, I mean, the thing is, it's like, so we're watching these people go through stuff where we already know more than they do, so we're also watching especially since they did a little jump, we're basically watching season one of The Walking Dead, but on the West Coast with different characters. But they're going through the same learning process. It's like, well, we've seen all this already. And it's just kind of like meh.
Yeah, it's very meh. It's just...
Well, then I'll stick with Better Call Saul.
Yeah, like I said, I plowed through 4 episodes of Daredevil yesterday. So now I think I've seen 9 of the episodes so far in season 2.
You saw where they've greenlit Punisher?
I saw that.
Netflix.
I watched the big I guess it was kind of a surprise appearance. Jeff, have you seen any of it yet?
Which one?
Daredevil.
No.
Did you watch season 1?
Yes.
Okay. I won't spoil it, but I'm... Okay.
Yeah,
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what the big surprise.
You watched it all already, right?
Yeah.
Oh, when Punisher goes to prison?
Right.
I'll go pee.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, when Fisk shows up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So at the end of the one, Fisk
right,
comes up, and then I watched the episode that showed a little flashback of Fisk, and dude, that hallway fight where Punisher killed all those dudes in prison.
Right.
Woo, man. Wow.
That was good.
That's a bad fucking dude.
Yeah. And that guy, Shane, I forget. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, Bernthal.
Right. Yeah, he does a good job. It's so hard to do the Punisher. I mean, you know, it's so hard to do the Punisher. It's like it's hard to do. It was hard to do Deadpool, and Ryan Reynolds just pulled it off so far.
I mean, yeah, it was perfect.
So it's, you know.
All right, is there any other Saints or NFL news y'all want to talk
about?
Yeah,
no, there is. We just got off.
What do you got? What do you got?
I don't know. Do you have any generic draft thoughts? Anything jumped out at you? I tell you what, when the Saints pick in round 7 was coming up and you had both Jalen Mills and Vidal Alexander sitting there from LSU, I was really thinking, holy shit, we might grab one of these guys. And then they both got plucked like a couple of picks before we picked the second. So I wouldn't mind having one of those two guys. I can't believe Mills slid so far because that's a versatile safety, kind of in the mold of Bell. But, didn't happen.
Yeah, well, that's another internet troll thing, you know. Why does Sean Payton, during the Sean Payton era, I mean, we haven't taken any LSU.
We drafted Al Woods, that didn't work.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Maybe Sean Payton doesn't respect Les Miles.
I didn't like that Deion Jones got drafted
Atlanta,
by the Falcons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, he's a local guy, Jesuit guy, LSU guy. But apparently they're going to put him at, the word came out today that they're planning to start him at middle linebacker, which I don't think that's his
position.
He's a fast guy on the outside.
Yeah, really, yeah. I mean...
So setting up to fail, which is what the Falcons do. They set you up to fail.
Yeah.
Fucking Falcons.
No, well, I mean, now I guess, I know we talked about it a little bit, but I didn't say anything. About poor Tunsil and his fall. And like you said, the funny thing is that it happened right at the draft started.
Right, so, like literally at 7 o'clock, all of a sudden.
Right,
shit.
On his Twitter feed, you know. On his own Twitter feed.
Now, isn't that weird?
Right, and what I said, you know, when I was talking to it with other people, look, he's a dummy for taping that anyway. I mean, you know, you're a dummy for taping it. And so I don't feel sorry for him there, but that someone is actively attacking him and trying to, you know,
ruin his life.
And right. Did, you know, someone cost him about $10 million. Someone cost him about $10 million. And what I heard, and, you know, they said a lot of what happened is if you weren't in the top 5 draft, you know, draft positions, no one was really looking at Tunsil. They didn't put all the work in because they didn't figure they had a shot at him. So,
yeah, I mean,
so
think
when
about,
that came well, up, those yeah, teams I mean, didn't really – I mean, they knew the hype, but they didn't do the pre-draft total work because they didn't. They never thought they had a chance. So they said that hurt him. And obviously, I think Miami got a great player.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They got a – that's why I really thought, like, man, if he's there when the Saints pick, I mean, as much as
– Oh,
I mean, that would have been very, very tempting.
You know, God knows we need defense. And again, I said they converted me. Mm-hmm. But could you imagine if we'd have taken Tunful and last year we'd have got Lilo Collins?
Oof.
I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, ew, but you know, look, that's life. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't go back. But God, fuck, that would have been. You know, if we had if we hadn't wasted the four drafts before that. Perhaps we could have gotten those two virtual studs on the offensive line.
Yeah.
But you can't go back.
It was just wild, like, you know, because I had volleyball and we're at the bar and all of a sudden everybody's like, holy shit, Laramie Tunsil, and the pictures of him with the bong and the gas mask. And I'm like, wow, like right as the draft was coming on. Because think about it, before the quarterback trade, you know, before the two trades to move into one and two, a lot of people thought Tunsil was going to be the number one overall pick. And then he goes all the way to 13. It's insane. And they fucking interviewed the dipshit, Roger Goodell, and it's like, oh, did you know what's going on? And it's like, no, I was too busy backstage. I don't know what's going on, blah, blah. And then they're like, but that's part of the excitement of the draft, the intrigue. Teams make a choice. Do you take him? Do you not?
He's trying to sell this? Like you?
Yeah, he was trying to sell it as NFL excitement, like this dude just cost himself $10 million, but you're like, oh, it's great for the league and intrigue and this. I mean, Mike and Mike were just tossing him softballs because that's what they do. You know, they interviewed him the next morning. Like, this fucking douchebag, this 20-year-old kid, he lost $10 million and all you care about is, oh, the league, the intrigue. Oh, it was amazing. That's why teams make decisions. That's why you take a player or you don't. Like, fuck Roger. Not that I haven't said that enough on this podcast, but, you know, fuck him.
It did come out. CBS was reporting that three owners said they were tired of him and would like to get rid of him.
It's going to start. Yeah, well, one of them's probably Benson. He's been that way for 5 years. The other one might be Robert Kraft.
Right.
And did you see when, you know, they had some... you know, different teams had different people come and announce some picks. Kevin Falk announced New England's second-round pick since they didn't have a first. And he came out wearing a Tom Brady jersey. Right. And he said New England Patriots and Tom Brady select.
Right.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, again, fuck Adele. God, I hate that asshole. Mm-hmm. I really do.
You know, as far as the draft, I watched it. I kept it on from Thursday to, you know, when I was home. And, you know, what makes it so intriguing, but... isn't the right word, but I mean, I sit there and watch it because I am hungry for football right now. We basically not had much football, you know, since February. But to watch it, and these kids, especially now more so than earlier, you know, they have a red carpet for them and they do all this stuff. And I mean, like you said, how many of these guys actually even pan out?
Half the first round picks won't.
Right. You know, and they really, you know, and I started feeling bad for the kids that are watching this. I mean, you know, here's everybody kissing their butt and saying, oh. But it's like, man, y'all have risen their expectations so high that, you know, the fall from grace is just, you know, from a mental standpoint, has to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, they get to walk a red carpet promoted like a fucking celebrity, and they hadn't played one single second.
Right. The whole thing is about how they, you know, now they're dressing like it's the Emmys or Oscars. They're all, and it's like these guys haven't done anything.
Nope.
God bless them. I mean, I wish none of them ill will. I hope they're all very successful, except if you play for Atlanta.
Right.
But. You know, but besides that, man, it's a lot of hype for nothing. It's a lot of hype. And then, like you said, 6 months, people forget about all this hype, you know, but those players don't. Those players are still wondering why. Why am I not the bell of the ball anymore?
Right.
When, you know,
they're the fucking shit.
Right. Yeah. They get to practice. Oh, God, just God, but I don't.
Pick up my pads, Rook.
Right. It's just getting to be a little.
It's it's spectacle. Right. The NFL's about spectacle, you know.
Right.
Now, did you watch NFL Network or ESPN's coverage?
Third day I watched ESPN. The rest of the time I watched NFL.
No, I wasn't. I mean, Thursday I started it on ESPN, and as I was waiting for the draft to unfold, nothing else was on TV, so I put it on at like 6 something. It's the preview, and when fucking Berman was interviewing Goodell, I mean, my head just wanted to fucking explode.
Well, of course, I mean.
I can't stand either one of those jackasses. And Berman's like, huh. He's not going to.
So, another story that came out was Jerry Jones being upset that he couldn't get. Who did he want?
Paxton Lynch. He's upset that he didn't trade back to get Paxton Lynch, who ended up going to Denver. Denver traded back into the first round, or traded up in the first round to get Lynch, because they realized, well, we have Mark Sanchez. So, you know what? People need to stop caring about what Jerry Jones says.
I'm just glad that he didn't get his way about something.
I mean, they ended up drafting Dak Prescott. Prescott couldn't end up better than...
No, you want Jerry Jones to get his way, because remember, he wanted Johnny Football.
Oh, this is true. You're right.
You want him to get his way so you can point and laugh at him as the Dallas Cowboys become the irrelevant fuck they are.
That's true. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott could be just as good as Paxton Lynch.
And then the big news on Sunday was that Tom Brady smiled in pictures.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I didn't know he didn't smile. I thought that was...
But he smiles all the time. He's a smiling kind of guy.
Yeah, well, the headline on CBS Sports, Tom Brady smiles in first public outing since being suspended. The entire article is pictures of him smiling. He went to a book signing for Giselle, so she's not modeling. She's signing books now.
I'm pretty sure he's writing books. I mean, I don't think he's just signing anybody's book. I'm pretty sure. I would guess it'd be her own book. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, her book release that they did a signing, sure. But she's got her own money, which is why he's able to take less deals. anyway,
exactly.
I'm laughing at the.
I know what you were trying to do there. It didn't quite work, but I got it.
All right, so he's. The real reason I bring this up is we haven't talked about his suspension being reinstated. And, Damon, this is your boy.
I mean, look, it's the NFL's investigation into Tom Brady is much like their investigation into fucking Bounty Gate. Half-assed bullshit, just what their narrative was. And he's got to serve his suspension. I mean, wow. Roger Goodell hands out an unjustified suspension. No shit. I think as Saints fans, we kind of know something about that. As we lost our coach for an entire year.
We lost our coach for a fucking year!
And our defensive coordinator.
Our GM for 8 months! I mean, for 8 games. Defensive coordinator for six weeks. I still...
You know, right, so that Tom, you know... Again, hopefully this will do something to those teams that sit on... Like New England, who, when we were getting fucked in the ass, was very supportive of Roger Goodell. So, I kind of like, well, there you go, stupid. How'd that work out for you?
It's going to take more teams getting dicked over to finally join our side until everybody realizes, yeah, this dude, I mean, they have to fucking get rid of him. A monkey can run the league and make money.
Right. I don't know that there's anything he's doing that is causing the league their popularity. If anything, I believe it is, he's costing the team popularity. I think a lot of people do not like Roger Goodell.
No, look, I because I hate him, I don't watch nearly as much football outside of the Saints as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch the NFL Network. I don't watch ESPN's NFL programming.
Well, but I think not watching the NFL Network at this point is less to do with Roger Goodell and just more to do with it's just not a good network. Like, it's just,
to me, it's also about fucking Goodell, and it's about the NFL as a whole,
right? And
because I associate him with the league as a whole, and if they're going to keep parading this jackass out here and keep letting them do these things, I'm not going to support them, other than my team,
right? And like I said, CBS came out with it. I thought I had saved it. I hadn't. I read it to y'all, but the three owners that will remain anonymous. One of them said that he's putting himself first above the league, that the other league commissioners had never done that before, so that's what this guy had a problem with. Another guy had a problem with his salary being close to $36 million a year. Doesn't believe that he's truly earned that. And then another was his heavy-handed punishments. That's out of control. So, like I said, hopefully, though, I don't know who they never mentioned who the three owners were, but maybe they can get a little coalition together and get rid of this jackass.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Because I don't know what he's doing, except maybe unless you say, well, he's a lightning rod and he's taking all the hit for us. And that might be true as an individual owner, but again, he's damaging the Shield. If his big thing is, oh, protect the Shield, that's why. Well, you're doing more damage to the Shield.
Marvel Agents of Shield?
You know,
their shield is not made of vibranium.
No. Like I said, he's doing more to damage the Shield than any of the players.
All right, final thoughts, Jason?
Final thoughts? I got two final thoughts. First quick one, it was a really soggy weekend in New Orleans this week, which really sucked for the Zurich Classic. I was actually out there all day Friday, the one day that there was no rain. Got to see a ton of golf, got to see a lot of players. Had a good time, and then went out there yesterday to grab some food and got to see one hole and then got rained out. So the tournament had to be shortened to 54 holes, and we had a winner, you know, whatever. But it just sucked for the players. It was start and stop. They were stuck in the clubhouse all the time. The rain just, like, I mean, this was insane rain this past weekend, both the Zurich and Jazz Fest. So hopefully next year the weather cooperates and more people get to go out, because it really is a fun time. If you can snag some premier tickets, it's really a good time, and I had a good time Friday and Sunday. And then my final thought is Captain America Civil War is finally here this weekend, and we are going to go see it on Saturday, and I'm fucking ready. Been ready for this movie for a while, boys.
Got the tickets. All right. Damon, final thoughts?
Yeah, well, I had a more enjoyable time than Jason. I went ahead a proctology exam, which had to be a lot more fun than going to watch golf. And lot more fun. At least it sounds like it. The poor Zurich Classic, no one comes to it, and it's a shame. I'd be more enthusiastic if some of the better known players would attend. I'm not sure why.
We have three top 10 players in the world. We have the number one player in the world play this weekend.
Who?
Jason Day. You say that because you don't know dick about golf. If it's not Tiger Woods.
Me and everybody else.
Or maybe Phil Mickelson. On the weekend with good weather, it gets decent crowds, and we get some decent golfers.
No.
It's not the biggest.
Jason. Oh, not Jason. Now you're lying.
No. Look, we're definitely not one of the higher-end regular tournaments. Right.
We have one of the higher...
Purses, we do.
Yeah, one of the higher purses.
Thank God for Zurich. We have a great sponsor in Zurich.
You know.
But we had the number one player in the world and two other guys in the top 10. It's not the best field.
No.
It's still a fun, enjoyable time.
All
right. So your real final thought, Damon?
I didn't have one.
His final thought was to shit on my final thought. Good job. Thanks.
Well, you're being disingenuous. It's a shitty tournament.
All right, that's
it's a shitty tournament.
It ranks very low in tournaments.
It doesn't rank as high as it should, considering the hospitality that we provide these guys.
Really should.
And the purse, it should be higher.
Who's to blame or how we can fix it or how they can fix it. But yes, I mean, you know, come on, the TPC New Orleans or TPC Louisiana. I mean. The players aren't enthused to play it even. They don't like it. And the state...
They've grown to like it more than when it first opened. And it drained... The fact, like, they saw... Considering the rain it got, it was amazing that they were able to finish this morning.
Would be funny as if they chose not to go play in the Zurich Classic, but instead went to Jazz Fest.
Well, the guys who missed the cut probably did Jazz Fest.
All right, now that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, mock draft donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.